Welcome.
Thank you, Barry. Turn to your neighbour and say you're so good looking. Thank you, Prudence. Prudence did a great job leading us this morning. And the music team, my goodness. And the sound, everyone that's helped out this morning, well done. So good, yeah. Palencio, good to see you. Fantastic. Triple trouble, hey? Kathy Ackerley in the middle. Good to see you, girls. Those of you who I don't remember your names or you're fairly new, great to be here at Wellard. I'm 3 out of 4 or 4 out of 5 at Fremantle, and this morning here at Wellard because you are just as important to me. And we are one church in 2 locations, and we want to be one church in 3 locations in about 2022, and C3 Wellard is going to be a part of that. And wouldn't you like to see another location like C3 Wellard in this city? And so, and also, isn't it fantastic? Like, national office have confirmed that we are the, I don't know if I said this last time I was here, but we are the first church in Australia to actually own their own campus. That's worth a hand to God, isn't it? Incredible. And Barry and Michelle, aren't they doing a great job? Looking after you guys, caring for you guys. And for those who are normally here, can we ring them this week and say, get your butt to church? Because it's not the same without everyone being here, right? And so this morning, I want to speak to you about being a champion sheep. A champion sheep. Sheep. Okay, let's make sure we got the pronunciation right. Yes, for all our multicultures, because we're a multicultural church. We want to be champion sheep. Bah. Yeah, that's it. Okay, so let's read this passage of scripture, thanks guys, from Matthew 25. This is the New Living Translation, or my version of it. But when the Son of Man comes in all his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit upon his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered in his presence, and he will separate the people as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will place the sheep at his right hand and the goats at his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger and you invited me into your home. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you cared for me. I was in prison and you visited me." Then these righteous ones will reply, "Lord, when did we ever see you hungry and feed you? Or thirsty and give you something to drink? Or a stranger and show you hospitality? Or naked and give you clothing? When did we ever see you sick or in prison and visit you?" And the king will say, "I tell you the truth, when you did it for one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were doing it for me. Now, I like the way the Message Bible puts this particular phrase, the least of these, those overlooked. Those overlooked. Verse 34, then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the creation of the world." We are blessed by our Father in heaven when we do his kingdom work on this earth. We become Christ to people when we do our part in helping their needs. and leap into spring. Has a little bit of a catch cry that goes with it. It's our local and international support. And it helps us stay focused on God's mission for our lives. Is that a good thing? We live in a Western culture where we have everything. And yet God has saved a wretch like me. And so I want to talk about this morning, and fantastic job. Can you share that message at Fremantle? I think you should. It'd be good for people to hear it at Frio as well. It was so good. And, you know, the tithe belongs to God. So, you know, the Pharisees actually said in the New Testament to Jesus in Matthew, should we pay taxes? And Jesus, as you know, replied, you ought to pay your taxes and you ought also to give to God what is rightfully God's. That's first. The first thing that to financial freedom, who'd like to be financially freer in their life? Now, we've heard an incredible test. You had to wait, and I know your face. It was desperate. But right now, you're thanking God. Because there's more joy trusting God than there is in trusting ourselves. And so we ought to give to Caesar what is Caesar's, and we ought to give to God what is God's. Second, which is where Leap into Spring comes into play, our regular giving displays the heart of God to our world. And so tithing is what we ought to give to God. It's just what is actually His. Our giving starts after the tithe. Turn to your neighbour and say, giving starts after the tithe. Josh, very similar scripture, 2 Corinthians 8:7. As you abound in everything, who'd like to abound in everything? You know what this word abound means? It means leaping. Menchiet means leaping into spring. Who's looking forward to some warmer weather? Yes. I went out on the motorbike yesterday with my wife. It's her bike, it's not mine. She said, can we get a motorbike, Nigel, because we need more fun in our life. And so yesterday we rode over the hill through Sawyers Valley into Northam. What were we thinking? It was freezing. But it was fun. It was fun to be with my wife. We found a little place for lunch. We came home. And, you know, the sun was shining when we got home. We laid like cats on the couch with the sun on our face. But as we abound in everything, can we abound in the gracious gift of giving as a church? You know, we are so blessed. And I think we've got to have such a grateful attitude for what we do have. And also, in Australia, we have resource that we can use, whether we're the poorest in the room or the greatest. We have something that we can offer someone else. And so I want to talk about this morning based on this scripture. And so in Bible times, a shepherd would separate the sheep from the goats. And the goats would go into an enclosed area, whereas the sheep would be left in the open, unconfined. And I thought about our freedom theme that we have this year. And, you know, also it says that sheep are more valuable in Bible times, particularly sheep were more valuable on the farm than goats because of their utility, their usefulness. And so two things we can learn from this statement Jesus made. A shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. The sheep are of high value in his kingdom, and we should strive to be a champion sheep. Not just any old sheep. We don't want to be the one that everyone has to go and find all the time. But we want to be what? Say it with me, champion. Champion sheep. Sheep are unconfined in their environment. The shepherds would have them out in the open paddocks. They have the freedom to be all God intended them to be. Well, I was excited about that. You see, the freedom of heaven awaits his sheep. The freedom of what? Heaven awaits his sheep. Now, this passage, it's a hard-hitting passage by Jesus. If you read the end, we'll get to it in a minute. The restraints of hell await the goats. And therefore, when we choose to be a part of a program like Leap Into Spring, which is our program for our church, whenever we get involved in anything to do with helping others, particularly when the gospel is being spread, we are upholding the values of God. And our faith promise, which is our card here, I'll get you to hold this in your hand before we finish today. You might have a Filipino, you may have an African. And Jesus is saying that we cannot say that we are his. We cannot say that we are a Christian and yet do very little for those who have far more need than we do. It's simply not why Jesus came. And so, in Luke 4:18, our whole theme for this year, he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Is anyone glad that we can preach the gospel to the poor this morning? He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, freedom to the captives, if you like, to set free those who are oppressed. Genuine followers of Jesus behave, uphold the same values. The BBC recently reported, this is where the photos come in just in a second, thank you, the sound team up the back there. The BBC recently reported that 20 million people, who's from the Philippines here? About half a dozen of us. Who's glad for our Filipinos in church? Let's give them a hand. Who's glad for the Kiwis? Now, I don't know anything about rugby, but I heard they lost last night. First time in what? 27 years. Anyway. 17, was it? Okay. So, you're allowed to have fun in church, are you? Okay. So, don't even ask about the Fremantle Dockers. Oh, anyway. Okay. So, the BBC recently reported that 20 million people live in slums in the Philippines. One third are in the capital, Manila. This is a picture of C3 where we do some ministry, but this is called Pasig. And so, Pastor Ranel and Mary Lou, I think we might have a picture of them. Go to the next slide. Oh, here we go. That'll do. That'll do for now. So, we are now supporting a work in C3, which is part of C3 Pasig, and the slum area, and the pastors' names are Pastor Ranel and Mary Lou. Over 40 people from the slums come to the church every Sunday and worship God. And in partnership with Samaritan's Purse, C3 Pasig are sending food and supplies into the slum area every week, and over 100 people are benefiting every week from that work. And Pastor Eric Harrison, who we help, was at the church in May and saw them supplying the bags of food and the gifts to the children. And see all the pictures there. So I'm so grateful that we're partnering to give hope to other people. And this is the whole thing about Leap Into Spring. It's hard to believe, but it may be that many of these people will live out their lives in the slums. It's hard to believe for us. But we will be celebrating with them in heaven. Come on. Oh, their future is bright. And leap into spring helps to give us a world view rather than a constricted view and an unrealistic Australian view. And so, whoever you are living in Australia, you and I can be a great blessing to those less fortunate than us, to those overlooked by us, to the least of these, as the Bible says. We can be helping the poor, meeting needs, lifting people out from under their oppression. And our mission as a church is love God, each other, the community. And if we really take this seriously, then anyone love Jesus here? If we love God, does anyone love one another? Well, most of you. And then there's our community. You know, your ministry. Who enjoyed the ministry already today? Your ministry is your service to believers. Good to have joy in church this morning. You're not in kids. Well done. What a great lady. Who's got children here? Who's glad for joy? Come on. So your ministry is your service to believers. Your mission is your service to unbelievers. And our love for God must translate into love for one another. And you cannot be a pew warmer if you really have God's mission on your life and you're grateful for the gospel and what Christ has done for you. And so we have community locally and internationally that Jesus cares for so much. And he calls us his sheep when we minister to the broader community. And Jesus calls us goats when we desire to do our own thing. And our future is limited when we act like goats. Our future is bright when we act like sheep. And so can we shake off ungrateful attitudes today? Can we shake off what we don't have and trust God for what we do have? And thank Him for what we do have. And we recognize together that no matter what we do or don't have compared to the next person, God calls every single Christian to be a blessing to those who are overlooked. And so when we step out in God, when we say we are His and we do not act, we say we're His but we don't act. Oh my goodness. Because Christ's value, He stepped out for you. He stepped right out into the in fact, the death zone. He went all the way. And so Jesus says, the more you risk, the more your reward. And it's hard not to link, this is Matthew 25, the last parable, it's hard not to link, and even if you look at the middle parable that Jesus talks about, and he talks about the gold, and he gave the three bags of gold, and two bags of gold, and one bag of gold. It's interesting to me that the last guy, he just buried it. He didn't do anything, he didn't risk anything, he just hoarded it for himself. And God said, basically, you could basically wrap it up and say, you're a goat. Do I know you? I'm convinced that God wants us to be a blessing. Is anyone else with me this morning? Can we be champion sheep? You know, many years ago, we started our missions program with, I think it was about year 99, 2000, with about 50 adults, not dissimilar actually to this C3 Weller in attendance. And we started helping one family who had moved to the border of China, and their whole intention was to rescue child soldiers and re-establish them and rehouse them and find them families in China rather than across the border in the neighbouring countries where all the child soldiers came from. That was our first mission. Today, it's 2000, what's 19 years ago? Today we have four thriving local churches in Liberia. We have another three plus, right, Barry in Sierra Leone. They're coming out of our ears in Sierra Leone. It's so going to be so good when Barry and Steve go up there in November. We have a ministry in C3 Pasig. We have Widows for Christ in India. We've helped establish locations for C3 around our globe through Leap Into Spring. And this year, we are even helping another church locally in the vicinity of Perth that don't have what we have. You can be so grateful that you have good resource and good leadership and you know how to get trained to be a great minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ at C3 Wellard. But there are churches that don't have what we have. And so we are partnering this year as well with Grow a Healthy Church, which is Pastor John Finkeldy. And we are going to actually, as part of our Leap into Spring, we're going to help a church that may not make it, but we're going to see it thrive. Who's glad that we can help somewhere in Australia as well? And so we've been a church now, Fremantle and now Wellard, for over 23 years. And the truth is, for the first 7 years, when Andrew and I established the church in Fremantle, for the first 7 years, we nearly extincted every single week. It was tough going. And I admit, I'm a slow learner. I admit my many mistakes. I admit I don't really know what we had to do to get ourselves into, it was just, wasn't really church. It was just kind of a few people meeting on a Sunday. If I had a Grow a Healthy Church coach back then, if I had someone that would come alongside, why don't you try this? You know what? I'm sure we would have got a lot quicker in our momentum as a church. And one thing I can say is that Andrew and I just kept chipping away. Pastor Charlie and Helen just kept chipping away with us, and another couple, Dom and Deanne up in Fremantle, we just kept chipping away. And so many stopped chipping away. Can I say today, can we just keep chipping away? Because when you keep chipping away, the big picture starts to actually create itself. And what we think is little is actually becomes quite large because God adds to it. And there are times, if I were honest, that I actually thought that church was a waste of time entirely. None of you had ever thought that, I'm sure. And it will be if it does. It will be. You will have that kind of mindset if you only have your own focus. As soon as you start to focus on those outside of yourself, God adds to it and things begin to thrive. We decided as a very small team we should rent permanently an old supermarket when we first started Fremantle. Because up until that time, like I said, we weren't really going anywhere as a church. And we needed to renovate the building to accommodate the auditorium itself and the kids' church. There were quite a few rats running around, I remember. It was an interesting building, like many of the Fremantle buildings, and pigeons on the roof that we could never get rid of. Anyway, some of the community decided to get involved from some of the families that were coming at the time. This is, we're talking about 20-odd people. And it was then when we started to actually put walls up, like we have walls here, it was then that when we started to renovate, that some of those people actually said, you know what, we're going to stay. We enjoy this community. We enjoy what you're doing, and we want to worship God with you. As soon as we turned our attention away from ourselves and on what could we possibly do to increase the community, God started to bless us. And I will bless all peoples on earth through you. Can we believe that today? It's a promise of Abraham, and let's believe it with all our hearts. Genesis 12. You know, if you have opposition rising inside of you every time giving is mentioned, may I suggest you take authority over that feeling. Like Jesus, God's purpose for your life is to be a giving person. And like it costs Jesus, being a Christian is expensive. Bet you never heard that before. Being a Christian is expensive. But I can guarantee you that you will find purpose. And you will find your life totally worthwhile when you become a champion sheep in the kingdom of God. And life is always better when you view it from God's perspective rather than your own. Some of you probably would have seen the Chinese male swimmer who was kind of snubbed because they thought he'd taken, do you know what I'm talking about? Taken some sort of illegal drug. And then the female Aussie swimmer got involved as well. And I'm not getting into whether they actually, it was part of their diet or whether they'd taken the wrong drugs or on purpose. That's not my point. But do you remember that the Chinese swimmers there and all the other guys, they're over, they wouldn't stand on the podium. They stood away. They didn't want to recognize. And I think it paints a picture for us as his people. You may think you're on the winner's podium. You may be giving the appearance of doing the right things. And God is standing over to the side, and maybe he isn't celebrating. Because the Bible says quite clearly that Jesus says, are you my sheep or are you my goats? And we can have the appearance of being a sheep but actually be a goat. God is saying, do I know you? And so from his word today, can we rejoice and say, you know me, Lord. And that's why as your senior pastor, I will always do leap into spring, because I don't want anyone to miss out on heaven's greatest reward. And so I know you because you helped the overlooked. The winner's podium is jam-packed full of C3 Wellard people, of C3 Fremantle people, of people all around the globe that support and help and build the local kingdom of, wherever they are, the kingdom of God. And so I find this parable really interesting. If you go back to the first part, it talks about the 10 virgins. There were 5 wise and there were 5 foolish virgins, or 5 silly virgins. And Jesus tells us of how 10 young women were invited to a marriage feast. And the 5 wise showed their wisdom by planning for the possible delay of the bridegroom, and they brought extra oil for their lamps. And the foolish women neglected to prepare, and they were extremely late to the reception because they had to find oil for their lamps first. And by that time, the doors had been closed shut and they could not enter into the marriage feast. Of course, this is talking about the bridegroom coming back for his church. It's talking about Jesus coming back for his bride. Are we going to be ready as a church when Jesus comes back for us? And so we know too from the end of the chapter that Jesus has begun speaking into the kingdom of God approaching and for his people to be ready and not to be goats but to be sheep. They're all connected. Let's be a good steward. Let's not be a silly virgin. Let's be wise. And at the end, let's be champion sheep. And so all 10 women had been given invitations. All 10 women were anticipating the occasion. All 10 had responded that they were attending the wedding. And despite their affection for the bridegroom, all 10 still became drowsy. All 10 fell asleep. But suddenly when the bridegroom came, the similarities vanished because 5 had oil in their lamps and 5 were unprepared. We need to be ready for the bridegroom's return. And although all 10 appeared to be ready for his return, when he did actually appear, there was an immediate distinction. So let me ask you a question. How are you to know if you are in one camp or the other? It flows out from this parable and is continued by Jesus when he speaks of the final judgment and the real condition of the human heart. In as much as you did it for the least of these, for those overlooked, you did it for me. Now let me point to a few observations from these 10 virgins. all the bridesmaids, all the bride, they all got up and prepared their lamps. All 10 of them. And then the 5 foolish ones asked the others, please give us some of your oil because our lamps are going out. And the life of the Lord Jesus Christ within is not transferable. Then the others replied, we don't have enough for all of us. You cannot be saved by the life of Christ in another. The 5 wise virgins refusing to give oil to the 5 foolish may appear uncharitable, even selfish. But this story is not moving on that level. It is teaching spiritual things. On the day of Christ's return, each person must stand on his own. Your wife's faith will not save you. Your mother's faith will not save you. Your pastor's faith will not save you. It's not enough. The question begs, are you alive in Christ? Lost opportunities cannot be regained. If you are not right with God today, may I ask, please don't waste another second. The Lord always comes without warning. The 5 went to find oil, but the Lord had already come. And Jesus is giving us ample warning in his word to be ready for his return. We are ready to meet him because like the 5 wise virgins, we are living by faith. Can we live by faith, C3 Wellard? Can we be a people that actually, there's no question about who we are? A dead faith saves no one. Jesus is coming back for those living in faith. Let me read it to you. Matthew 25, 34, 36. And music team, you can come. Thank you. Then the king will say to those on the right, come you who are blessed by my Father. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger. Yeah, just the keyboard's fine. Thanks. Oh, guitar. Yep. Thanks, Dave. I was a stranger and you invited me into your home. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you cared for me. I was in prison and you visited me. Only you really know which side of the fence you're on. You and Jesus. And the life of faith is not transferable. And there are certain opportunities we must respond to in life. And one of the greatest responsibilities we have been given by our Lord is in this area of giving to those less fortunate than us. I love the way the Message Bible puts this verse. I was hungry and you gave me no meal. I was thirsty and you gave me no drink. I was homeless and you gave me no bed. I was shivering and you gave me no clothes. Sick and in prison and you never visited. Leap into spring is a fantastic opportunity for you to be a kingdom person, to be a generous person, a person on his right side on judgment day. C3 Wellard, can we be champion sheep? Can we be ready, church, our lamps burning? Poised to serve and give on the 25th of August. Can we take our faith promise card, please, in our hand this morning? I'd like you to hold this card and take it home with you so that we can be prepared and ready. You'll notice on the front there, what can I give? What can I give up? And what can I believe God for? I know I can give this amount. We all know that we have this amount of money and we can give a certain amount. And then there's a part about what can I give up? And this is where it starts. We go to prayer. If we're married, we go together. We ask the Lord separately, but we come together and we agree. What can I give up? For me, just one area of my life is that I like to have a nice cup of coffee from a nice coffee shop nearly every day. That works out to about $1,500 a year. So what can I give up? I could give up my caffeine addiction for a year, and now I know what I can give. Now I know what I can give up. And then there's what can I believe God for? And this is where we add faith to the equation. Does anyone love being a person of faith this morning? And this is where we actually go, you know what, Lord? I could trust you a little bit more. Lord, what are you saying? And no, you should not give everything that you have, because then you're going to be a silly virgin. We've got to be wise, but we can actually ask the Lord. And look, I have known people to give everything they've had, and I've seen God bring incredible blessing. So, but I'm just saying, as your pastor, let's be wise about this. But we can add faith to what we know we can do. And I don't know about you, but I like to be stretched by God so that I grow in my own faith. And so there's what can I give? We pretty much know what we can do. What can I give up? And what can I believe God for? So that we can all be champion sheep. Can we be champion sheep, church? Amen. Father, let's pray. I thank you for this upcoming offering, Lord, into Leap into Spring. And I pray, Lord, that I would be a person that takes this seriously. I know what I can give. I know what I can give up, Lord. And help me, Lord, to put faith to that amount, to be a blessing and see, Lord, not only your kingdom purposes come to pass, but I thank you, Lord, that as I bring an offering, that you're going to add to it. Lord, we're going to be, like Josh said this morning, Father, we're going to see your purposes come to fruition in our life. You are going to bless us in unexpected ways. And we thank you, Lord, for this opportunity for the next 12 months to be a blessing to others so much more needy than us. And the people of God said, amen. God bless you, church. Let's live for eternity. Thanks, Pastor Barry.
Hey, church, let's give some honor and appreciation to Pastor Nigel. What a great message. So awesome.